Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the December 14 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois, and Pete Manhart, also from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. Merrill Crowley, I think I will start with you, because by the time we get to the end of the year, you'll have a great big announcement that you'd like to tell everybody about. You are now part of a larger organization. Tell me what's happening.
Yes, I'm going to merge, and I will be the branch office to Midwest Market Solutions with Brian Hoops out of main offices in Springfield, Missouri. They now have 10 branches covering various locations throughout the Midwest.
Well, congratulations. Of course, Brian has been on Commodity Week, or was in the past, and we'll get around, I'm sure, to having him back on. Congratulations to you and to Midwest Market Solutions. So, Merrill, let's start with you, because this is kind of an interesting week. Today in particular, where we had a really tough day in the soybeans, and we had the expiration of the December corn contract, this, of course, recorded on Thursday. I'm wondering what you think happened this week in both the corn and the soybeans, and you pick which one you want to start with.
Well, I think it's kind of combined in a sense. I'll let other guys elaborate on it. What I'm seeing is basically we're seeing selling starting in the soybean market, and this is due to, first of all, we had forecasts for rains coming into Argentina. These rains then are starting to develop now, and we're getting closer to the actual event, so they're getting a better idea what type of rains they're going to see. And as these rains hit these parched areas that have been troubling everybody, we're seeing the beans getting sold. Now, as the beans have gone up and the corn had gone down, we've seen this intermarket spreading going on, and we're seeing that start to unwind. So they're selling the beans, buying corn and wheat.
Kurt, have they been doing this for the six sessions out of the last seven that soybeans have been on the march lower?
Pretty much so. Merrill did a great job of making note of that, but they've been doing this for actually, you know, over a year and a half, almost 2 years, kind of hedging the risk and taking advantage of being positioned in some different commodities. But it, you know, we're approaching year end, and they've got a little longer position in the beans, so you know, kind of even that up a little bit. And they've been short corn and wheat, so I think it's kind of a seasonal expectation here as we close out the next 2 weeks of the year.
Pete Manhart, December corn went off the board at 336 and a quarter. However, the March is well above that at 348 and a half. Oftentimes when there's a difference between these two, either that March contract will march lower and try to get down and fill what would be a gap, I suppose, in the late option chart, or maybe not. Are you of the feeling this time that it will move lower? And did it surprise you that it held as strong as it did in the face of the expiration of the December contract?
Well, we've been near lows for a while now in the corn. It's kind of been up and a little down a little. But yeah, that we've been for the last several months, whatever the front month was, the next month tried to get down to it, and we do expect some of that for the March to go towards that December. That's a good 12 cents. I don't know if we can go that low. A lot of people talking about being near lows in corn. We do have good usage, but we have huge carryout also. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if we tried to bring now the front month, which will be March, down to where, or close to where the December's went off.
Wayne, you've watched these contracts go off the board for decades now. What's your feeling about how the corn market will react?
Well, it's going to be heavy. But, you know, as we look at that, we've been in a 340, 360 trading range for a long time here now. Basically, I think the 340 range is probably going to still hold us towards the bottom of that range. certainly approaching where we went off. We could trade a day or two down there lower, but what's going to really be in pressure here for the rest of this week, Friday, and then, of course, the first couple days of next week is going to be the unwinding of those spreads. That's why we saw corn, why the March corn held up so well today, was we had a bid underneath there. If you looked in the waterfall and looked what was going on, there was 3,000 or 4,000 contracts to buy just a quarter of a cent down from where the market was trading. So the unwinding of those spreads has held us there, and I think, fortunately, it's going to maybe keep us so we don't still stay in that 340, 360 range.
So they'll want to continue to unwind spreads in what are now the new lead option months then?
Because basically their spreads weren't in the December contract going off the board today. So a lot of their shorts in the corn were in the March. So basically we saw a lot of strength, right below the market for them buying the shorts back.
And this is an end of the year evening my money up for the books kind of thing more than anything else.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it. Number one, number two, basically we got down to looks like where we're towards the bottom on the trading range on the corn. We're short the corn. And things don't look so good with the rains coming into South America as they are right now on the long beans. So take our profits. They're big ones.
So at the end of the year, Wayne, I want to ask one more question of you. So once we get this done, and will that happen by the time we get to the end of the trading sessions for the year? Will we find support after they're finished unwinding? I'm just trying to put a time frame on how long this will take.
The answer to that is we would think so, because we tend to the first 10 days of January to see beans firm up a little bit. That along with the, just that they tend to firm up there. Also along the way, they aren't going to get out of all these spreads, but what they're going to do is they're going to reduce them enough and take enough profits here, because they still are favorable beans over corn, looking at the demand in the bean market compared to the demand in the corn market for the stocks.
Merrill Crowley, back to the bean market. It appears things are changing in Argentina for the South American crop in general. Although they haven't gotten the rainfall yet, I think the last thing I heard said 97% of the growing region for corn and nearly that much for soybeans was very, very dry in Argentina. Have we heard anything from Rosario, from the Grain Exchange, about the size of the crop, whether it's been hurt very much, and what their expectations are at this point? Because it seems like we haven't had the rains, though they're in the marketplace, I suppose, now as an expectation.
Well, it depends on what areas you're in. I was reading where out of the, I think it was the Rosario area, where they have 100,000 hectares, about 10 million hectares, I'll get it right yet, 700,000 were actual terrible, hard-pressed, we got to have moisture yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that part, but the whole area is affected and is in a situation that can turn and provide market support. As you look at some of the forecasts coming out of the area and the extended forecasts, they're saying right now that they think they'll get rains anywhere from 1 to 2 inches, and that's not enough to necessarily break the drought. It would definitely help, as they are currently at 62% planting progress with the soybeans, and that's the slowest in the recorded history. Now, the recorded history only goes back to 1995. So you've got that situation. You're going to get the rains. Is it then going to dry back up? So in the meantime, nobody wants to go into the weekend with positions, so they're going to sell off and the beans are going to go lower. You may see a pickup in beans on Sunday night, depending on what the new forecasts are saying and how much rain they got over the weekend. So I think a lot of today's sale was just a precautionary, I don't want to be in this over the weekend. I've got profits. Get me out.
Hey, Kurt Kimmel, can you walk me through both the corn and the soybeans technically? Start with the soybeans and then work your way towards the corn charts. They look really kind of ugly to me, but you're the technician. it's a long drop down, or at least it looks that way. So tell me about the soybeans first.
That's a mess. We tried to stabilize there. We definitely had a bullish trend divergence there. We made new highs there last week, but the momentum indicators failed to make new highs with that move. We're actually at the lowest level we've been since clear back last August, back when we made the lows in the January beans just below 9:30. the key now is try to hold the low we made here a couple weeks ago last month down around 967, then the previous low around 964. If we can't hold that, we'll probably start to see some more larger retracement objectives to the downside being met. But we've taken a ton off. We're 50 cents off the high, so being oversold, maybe we can see some stabilization. There's a 4 to 6 week cycle low due to take place here. We found enough that the fundamentals might kick in some Asian buying here to give us some short-term recovery. On the corn, it's just a broad-based sideways move. If you look at a chart, we moved sideways for 3 months there from August until November. We're a notch lower in through here. We're chugging sideways again. So I don't see corn going anywhere. It's just kind of stuck in this sideways trading range.
Yeah, it's better than being stuck in a downward trading range. Are we base building for a bottom? And I know that's a hope, but is that your thought?
Well, I don't want to say bottom as in a big up move, but I think we're building a base in here to rebound somewhat, yes. We're just fundamentally being awash with feed grains, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide. So there's going to have to be some disaster somewhere to get the public to come in and quit buying Bitcoin and the Dow to come in and buy coin, corn. But we're oversold in here. We should have some recovery, but the recovery is just not going to be probably enough to satisfy everybody's want to the upside. It's going to be a struggle to probably cover commercial storage costs between now and first of the year.
Mm-hmm. Through the last month, Pete Manhart, or thereabouts, maybe the last couple of weeks, as I've asked the question, for those producers that need to have end of the year funding and were looking to make sales, I was told that they should sell soybeans or probably should look more towards soybeans rather than the corn. If they have not made those sales, now they're thinking, oh, wait, did I miss it? Is there an opportunity yet for them, do you think, before the end of the year, or do they reset themselves and think about making corn sales instead?
Well, I would be looking at making corn sales and then going out and buying May options or May futures, thinking that as we go through the end of the year and into the spring, people are going to be talking about how low prices are and thinking about planting more beans and planting less corn. We did some of that this year in Illinois, and I expect more of that down the road in corn for the Midwest, just due to how low the prices are and people saying, well, I can still make money at this price in beans, but I can't make it in corn, so I'm going to switch a few acres over to beans. So I think I would be looking at selling some corn and staying long by buying May futures or May calls.
Wayne Nelson, do you have thoughts on this as well?
Well, I some of the advisory firms shorted some more old and new crop beans today because the charts do look really bad. I would probably still be the seller of beans because I still think that, Pete mentioned, they are profitable. Corn is not profitable. We are still holding our trading range in the corn. We could be breaking out of our trading range in the beans to the downside. Chris Hurt yesterday at the Indianapolis Machinery Show said that the Purdue numbers said that beans are a $60 an acre winner over corn for next year, and they will be advising planting more bean acres. So I guess I'm a little bit more along the way that I think that we could see the bases tighten up a little bit on this good ethanol production. On the corn, gives a chance to maybe sell some corn at a good basis level. But for right now, unless the basis level in your area is good on the corn, I'd be a seller of beans.
I was wanting to talk a little bit about the fundamentals, and I think, Mr. Crowley, I'll let you do that as we look forward into the USDA's final crop production numbers that are due out the 12th of the month. They will incorporate for that report the December 1 grain stocks numbers. So we've got a lot of figures that will be coming out that will include ethanol, livestock feed, all the supply and demand table figures. What are you thinking will be most likely to happen there?
You're going to get the last of the production numbers on that report. The way the USDA has bounced back and forth on some of the ideas on the production, You know, and you still have, as you go across the country, you've got guys saying, never had any better corn than I had this year, and other guys saying, just didn't make the yields I did last year. So there's that question of what they're going to do with the production, if they're going to cut it back. They should be fairly close. As far as feed use, I would think feed use would have to be pushed a little higher because, you know, just everybody is trying to put cattle out there and, as everybody likes to say, walk the grain off the farm. And they're also trying to put more hogs out there. The hog industry is still expanding. So with that expansion, you've got to feed them. And they're certainly going to be corn-fed. And we have then higher ethanol use. It continues to run high, even though we saw a drop back in our ethanol use on Wednesday. We saw that still being about the second highest week for production on ethanol. So as long as those numbers keep coming in, the only thing we seem to have a problem with right now is the problem with exporting our corn. And so exports may drop back some. It's hard to say at this time. Right now we're behind. But the other day I saw an article that was saying that right now we are the cheapest on corn, soybeans, and soft wheat at the Gulf in the world. So if we're there at that point, we should start seeing sales increase. Now, we didn't see a big increase in sales today, but we should start seeing more interest come into the market if we are indeed becoming more competitive with world prices. So that's probably the big unknown at this time. Will we rebound on our exports?
And Kurt Kimmel, I want you to take up that supply and demand report too. Both of them, actually, the one that we just had and the one that is coming up in January. The United States Department of Agriculture for corn took a look at the numbers for production of ethanol and said, yep, 50 more million bushels of usage, and they lowered the ending stocks by that, but they did not change the export figure for the United States per corn. Does that surprise you, given the lagging exports that we have seen and that Merrill has just mentioned?
Yeah, I think it's a timing issue. The focus is on bean sales and bean shipments right at the moment. Corn's the southern hemisphere, they're cleaning up the old crop corn in Brazil. As we turn the calendar and move into late winter, I feel the exports is going to pick up. As the focus of the bean demand goes to the southern hemisphere, then we'll see the demand on corn exports pick up. I believe corn exports are a little undervalued. Longer term, they're sharply undervalued. I'm talking 2 to 3 years from now. We believe the Asian ethanol productions seriously moving northward, and they're going to be faced with actually having good quality corn or corn that's not rotten to send through the ethanol plants. Then two, the meat production have shifted some locations, restructuring there, and that's going to be a little bit more steady down the road where they're going to need to see these imports of corn increase. Also, too, on the ethanol here, we're seeing sorghum shipments pick up, short sorghum sales. So the competitiveness of grain use for ethanol, you know, is back to corn and possibly wheat if it's competitive. Bean-wise, yeah, we saw an increase in overall ending stocks. It's a situation where they aren't too comfortable with the exports. We're moving them out. We'll have to watch the southern hemisphere. If the southern hemisphere starts to run into some problems here, our exports projections will creep back up and see that improve over time. But historically, year after year after year, and this might not be the year it happens, we always start up in this 400-some million bushel carryout, and it drops down below 300 million bushels.
Hey, Pete Manhart, the grain stocks report, which will be released along with all the rest of the reports on January 12th, and again, folded right into the WASD numbers as they're released that day. Many people are putting a lot of expectations on, I won't call it front-loaded, because the first quarter of the month, or first quarter of the year, is always the biggest quarter for usage out of that grain, or disappearance out of out of that grain stocks report. Most of it is related, or some of it's related to livestock usage. Do you think that we really are producing enough beef and poultry and pork pounds to really chew through a lot of grain and begin to think about backing off from that really big, nearly 2.5 billion bushel carryout at all?
I think we are seeing bigger supplies or bigger usage in the livestock use. But I think the big thing is after the first of the year, instead of that feeling that we have in December of blah, we start looking at where are we going to be down the road and how much corn do we really need? And with everybody else out of corn to ship it, we've still got it to ship so that we will bite into that carry out, I think, really well in that first quarter, like you talk about, and people will start thinking, hey, corn is too cheap. We need to have it go higher.
Will we also begin to think about the number of acres that we'll be looking at next year, and what are your expectations there, Pete?
Right now, expectations, if corn prices don't bounce up some, we're looking at, you know, corn that if you plant it, you're going to lose money on, and beans that you can make $60 or more, I think it was quoted earlier, than you can on an acre of corn, so that they will look at, again, moving some acreage from corn to beans, and that should also help corn prices go a little bit, grind higher.
Hey, Wayne Nelson, USDA, earlier in the month released a pre-look at what it'll come out with in February as more official numbers, I suppose. None of them are quite official because they're not in a report. Their thought that this year and then on through the 2026 years, that we would have 91 million acres of soybeans and 91 million acres of corn. Those would be both up by a million acres from this year. Do you think that's possible?
Not at the prices we stay where we're at here, Todd, because I think that we'll see maybe a cutback or more acres not being produced on if we continue to stay below production costs. But I mean, I do think that we're going to see some big acres. It's really funny, as all the meetings that we've went to or other individuals, advisory firms we've talked to, early sentiment was more beans were being sold by the seed dealers. And then different meetings being held lately say that they planted more beans this last year, and their farm managers are telling them they want them to get back to a little more even. They don't want to put beans on beans, and they had a lot of acres of beans last year, so they might put 5 or 10% more corn in different areas. So it is sort of a mixture of the ideas of what farmers are telling us out here, but I think we're maybe stretching the acres going up to 91 and 91. I think we could get into a pretty much of a 50-50 mix, but I think it might be 90 and 90.
Indiana, Ohio, and Ohio I know already does plant more soybeans than they do corn. And since I'm talking to you, I'm going to guess that most of the meetings you've been to have been in the Indiana region. Is this part of the Eastern Corn Belt? And Illinois is a bit in this same boat because they have switched acres as well. I had more than some of the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. Do you think this is an Eastern Corn Belt thing so that when we do switch out, it'd be Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio where those corn acres might show up as opposed to other places?
I think it easily could be, Todd. I think that somehow they've been more willing to switch to go along with the financial ideas of what we should plant over here with Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio than they maybe have out west.
Yeah, so one of the things I heard as, and this is maybe you all can comment on this, as a potential explanation is that the northern part of Illinois, which has not been as apt to switch, certainly as southern Illinois has, or even central Illinois, and then Iowa, parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota, though Dakota planted 7 million more acres of soybeans last year, really don't have a long enough season to make the switch work as easily, and they get concerned about soybeans planted being planted later, being frosted, and that maybe it's a production thing as well. So I don't know. We'll have to sit back and watch and see what happens there. Let's get kind of a final word, I think, from each of you at this point. Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities, let's start with you today.
Well, the feeling here with me is that corn ought to be near its low. We don't really know if it is or not. And if we can't have higher prices to produce profit, maybe the acres will go down and the prices will go up. if that happens quickly, we might plant more corn acres. On beans, how low is low? Is it another 50 cents? Is it another dollar? Is it another 20 cents? I don't know that anybody knows there. Usage-wise, we have great usage worldwide, but if South America crop comes on strong due to rains that they are supposedly going to get or that they do get, that could push beans even further to the low side.
Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois. And by the way, congratulations. Next time we talk to you on Commodity Week, it'll be Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions. Your final thought.
I think we could see, we're going to see seasonals will kick in. They may not be as big as they have in the past, so we should see some good market improvements. We are going to see somewhat of a fight, and I don't know if it's going to be more of a fight to gain acres or get rid of acres to the other one between soybeans and corn. One of the things we're seeing that may develop into something important is if you look at the drought monitor, you're seeing dryness creep in throughout the Midwest, and it's not hurting anything now. It's not even hurting the wheat. You know, the wheat's a grass. If we get rains in the springs, it won't make any difference. But the concern of that may have something to do with what we see planted and where. And the other thing that I've noticed when I'm talking to some guys is they're saying, well, but my corn has done such an excellent job of yielding. If I'd have just marketed, you know, with the intent of my corn doing better, you know, I would have done okay with my corn. So you might see people planting corn, betting on higher yields and getting the price set when they have a little higher area, which would unknowingly give more corn acres than what many are looking at. One quick final word. Andy Setzler had something on there about the suicide level amongst farmers is at an all-time high, not just here in the U.S., but throughout the world. And it's just, I don't know, saddening to know that in a time of hope and joy that we're supposed to have from Christmas, that somebody would be so full of despair that they'd want to end their life. So if you know of anybody that's having problems like that, there's an 800-273-8255 national hotline, and just, you know, get them to talk, because, you know, that's just not the solution, and give them the gift of more life.
Thank you so much for that thought. We do appreciate that. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, your final thought for the day.
Well, the farmers here in Indiana are waiting, wishing, and hoping for weather problems somewhere in the world except Indiana. And, you know, we do know that, you know, we are not hearing our favorite word, La Nina, enough, but it is still forecast to be, you know, fairly strong, at least through, you know, the April time period here. So there can be some problems arise down in South America, but when we get those problems, or we get the inclination of those problems and the market reacts to it, I think we need to have our finger on the trigger and be willing to pull some, shoot at some target numbers with some sales here that way. So have your orders in.
And we'll wrap up with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
La Nina.
Hey!
Another thing on wheat, we'll have an acreage report also on January 12th. We're looking for smaller wheat acres, and some of those acres are going to go into corn and beans. Merrill, you get the quote of the day. We're going to walk this off the farm. I think you're dead on. Crop report showed, also had a per capita consumption report in the livestock. Red meat consumption's on the rise. Chinese bullishness in the corn's 2 years away. Have a safe, enjoyable holiday, guys.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org, where you can listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like on demand. Our panelists this week included Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois, and Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.